sir. We wear caps and sleeves at this level, son. Understood?
All right. We are live streaming, baby.
It is happening.
This is California Penal League for the audio only folks. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for being here. This is a Chris and Steve special because Fabs is out getting his monthly, I don't know.
His wife has allowed him his monthly trip to Vegas.
And, yes, he's getting his demons out in Vegas.
And he will never speak to us of the details, nor do we expect it.
And yes, exactly. Yeah, he goes there and does things that are for him and him alone. So that's left us to discuss your AL Central leading Cleveland Guardians, your best in the AL Central or Cleveland Guardians.
What
more hyperbolic things would you like to go down? What avenues would you like to go down here? Because I feel like we could talk about
we can anything also and say, you know, best in baseball. And we're lying.
It's not that far off.
If you're going to go off winning percentage,
yes. And this young season, if we were to, and that's where I think the route's going to go for this episode here. This little maybe shorter episode. I have some thoughts in terms of my concerns moving forward, but I'm also going to like enjoy the ride as long as it lasts.
Yeah. And it's not going to last for forever. Anybody who's watched Little League knows that, but yeah, enjoy the ride. You know, the schedule coming up in the next 3 weeks, it's going to be interesting.
Yes. Because it's Boston at home. Yep. Then they go to Atlanta and then I believe they they play New York.
Houston. Uh-huh. At Houston.
Yeah.
Home against the Angels, home against the Tigers, on the road to Chicago for the Sox, on the road to Texas, to the Twins. Home to the
Yankees
Mets
for a while. I thought the Yankees were sooner, but yeah, they.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
still
yeah.
You're talking about, even though the Astros are pretty stinky this year.
But I'll say this too: the last half of May, Twins, Mets, Angels, Rockies,
Nationals. Yeah.
As you know, I don't want to say difficult the next few weeks are going to be. We're certainly going up against better quality teams. And you know what? The A's aren't a bad team when they don't play us.
That's the funny thing is the A's, I think after beating the Yankees today are 9-14. It's a very respectable, normal. They're pretty bad.
Six of their losses have come against the Guardians.
And they've also played pretty well. Yeah.
Also, we should also note this before time passes too much. Those were the last games against the Oakland A's, which was a little wild to think about.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're right. Until they become the
Vegas A's maybe one day.
Well, Sacramento.
Or Sacramento Athletics.
Although I've heard that they're not going to.
They're not going to have the city. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll just be the Athletics because they can't establish roots there.
I mean, I kind of thought Golden State Athletics would have been an interesting moniker for the next couple of years, but
yeah, they're going to still hold on to the dream that they'll end up in Vegas, which I feel is like 50-50 at best.
My prediction: they don't end up at the Tropicana site. That's just prediction.
You've talked about like that, like
there's a plot of land further north on the strip, but
like music
across the street from the festival ground.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll get out to Sacramento in the next year too. So look, they're 16-6, best start since 1999, a 52 run plus positive run differential.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Stephen Kwan. here in his 10 multi-hit games, 6 3-hit games already.
It's just insane.
I mean, it is insane, but then we haven't even mentioned, I mean, between him and Josh Naylor, Josh Naylor's got a 196 OPS plus. He's already got 6 homers,
mm-hmm.
20 ribbies, hitting 325, 393 on base percentage. Those two have just, it's like from day one, those two looked like they were operating at like this completely different level. This season, they've been locked in from day one.
And I'll even throw in another name. His stats aren't as sexy, but kind of in that same mold, you know, the light kind of went off and he was kind of like, okay, yeah, like this is who I am. But Andrés Giménez too.
Yeah.
Just seems like last year was a sophomore slump of sorts. I know it wasn't a sophomore season, but it seemed like that was just kind of, yeah, I think he was pressing, and I think he even, you know, admitted to that at some point last season. But those three, there's a couple other guys that are off to early starts that are encouraging. I'm not going to put as much stock into those because each one of them has not the proven track record of Giménez, Kwan, and Naylor. But I would have to say those three just kind of like took the next step.
Yeah.
In their progression. And boy, oh boy, was that nice. And it is nice, I should say.
Well, you're talking about now. I mean, here's the thing. So two things. You're talking about now having a 1-4 that is a rock solid murderer's row,
yeah,
of sorts. Top of the lineup, no questions, no problems. That's also led to, and this isn't just the top half of the lineup, but even for the bottom half struggling, some of the underlying stats collectively for the offense give me a lot of hope for the rest of the mm-hmm. season in thinking that this is a different approach than what they've had over the last couple of years. They are the second, and I think we may have talked about this on a previous episode, but this is still the case. They have the second highest line drive percentage in baseball, just behind the Dodgers. So a shade under 24%. They have the second highest line drive rate as an offense. They have the second low, again, the Dodgers being the best. Cleveland has the second best ground ball rate in baseball at a shade under 40%. And the Guardians have the highest medium contact rate in baseball at about 58%, just behind the Mets. So clearly the drive here has shifted to hitting line drives, elevating the ball. And you can see it in a guy like Tyler Freeman where it's like, oh, a few more of those are getting out.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
it turns out you don't have to be a slap hitter, but you also don't have to like abandon who you are. And sooner or later, you're going to get into a few of these.
Yeah. I mean, his average is a little bit less than what you'd expect or hope from him, but he's leading all outfielders with 3 home runs already.
Dude, don't even
know. Like, if you would have told us that, you know,
actually, I probably would have said that sounds about right. I would have been like, yeah, I mean, I guess. Like, fair point.
Because probably the only maybe contender, and he's a guy that I'm at this moment in time willing to walk away from, would be Esteban Florial.
Yeah, Florial.
Maybe Ramon Laureano has a turn back the clock machine somewhere and he goes back to that season where he had like, what, 26 homers in Oakland or whatever it was.
Was that pre-steroids?
No.
He had a suspension for that, right?
He busted for something.
Yeah. I like him. I like him too,
but.
But we're at
24 home runs. I'm sorry, 24 home runs in 19.
We're also getting a lot further from that season. Each and every passing day.
Every day, so, it's getting a little bit further and further.
Here's like the very just like compelling thing about the offense, and even the fact that like between Esteban Florio, Ramon Laureano, Will Brennan, and Tyler Freeman, you're talking about just like four interchangeable, sort of struggling guys. Unlike other years. And I know he plays first base, but unlike other years now, you're literally looking at AAA going, Kyle Manzardo is going to be up soon, like without a doubt. And very quietly, Jonathan Rodriguez is having a hell of a start. And if you look at his,
is on fire.
You've mentioned this many times, I think, but you can see in his progression ever since he was in like rookie ball at 17. It takes him about half a year of being like, it's like a year and a half at a level where he then kind of like figures it out.
Yep.
So
yeah,
AAA, it's even been a little bit quicker than that for him, but
he's only got like 60 games. I'm sorry, 66 games at AAA. And now this is last season in this, but a 286, 386, 555 slash with 15 homers and 47 RBIs. Again, 66 games. So you're talking about, what, a third of the season maybe? Over the course of like a 162? My math's a little fuzzy right now. It's late in the evening. Not quite, you know, a third, but...
That's why I'm not too worried about where things are at right now, because you're talking about, and that's just two guys worth mentioning at this exact moment. But, you know, it's nice to think, you know, by May, June, you're going to have an infusion of quite a few guys that should help the bottom half of the order considerably.
And here's the other thing. You mentioned the guys in the outfield. There's another name I would lump in there would be David Fry. And what I'm thinking about with between Fry and those outfielders is they're not going to be theoretically not pressed into everyday playing time as they are now, or as frequent playing time. They can sit, they can be played in more favorable matchups. Potentially, again, this is all potential, increasing their value then. You know, hey, you know, Freeman, maybe he gets his average turned around here and he's hitting 240 and he's looking pretty good, you know. Still, I'd say as 217 batting average, I'll take over Miles Straw, what he provided last season. I'm still in that camp at the current time.
Well, that's the thing though, is Tyler Freeman, for as much as it's like, well, he's hitting, you know, he's hitting 217, it's kind of whatever. He's got three homers.
Yeah.
He's got more power. He's got legitimate, decent power. You can't argue with three homers in
the
first few weeks of the season.
No, you can't.
And I mean, that provides some pretty good value. And defensively, he's been pretty damn good.
Yeah. I mean, we're not even talking about the elephant in the proverbial room here with, you know, having DeLauder knocking on the door. Another name to watch out in the draft, Charlie Condon. I mean, that's kind of who I'm circling in on already at this point. You know, others may have Travis Bonzaga and
Caglione
and Nick Kurtz. You know, he's kind of come back since from injury. But Condon, to me, plays the positions that we need. He plays a left field. He plays a right field. He plays a third base. He plays a first base. We really probably don't need him at first base because, knock on wood, and we'll discuss this when Fabs is back from his sabbatical in Vegas. Our DH will be Manzardo and Josh Naylor. And the person who's not playing the field that day will be DHing.
The only thing that bothers me is that they're both lefties, but I mean, I'll certainly take it. And honestly, I would love to get Naylor out of the field a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that before. You know, I could see that platoon situation between first base and DH, maybe Naylor plays 3 or 4 days a week in the field.
Man. Yeah.
And I mean, Manzardo, by all accounts, isn't as good of a fielder, but he's not a liability.
I just want that damn bat in the lineup.
Yeah, just give me those bats.
I just want it in the bat. I just want it in the lineup so bad. I think we've talked about this too, is, you know, by May, it'll start to become very clear who, you know, there's going to have to be choices that'll have to be made. It's like a month, month and a half of some of these guys. That's a pretty decent amount of time to make some decisions about what we're going to do moving forward. It's, you know, it stinks because, you know, you like the vibes of the team right now, but at some point in the at-bats that they're given, guys like Brennan and Florial and Freeman too, to some extent.
Probably even Laureano too.
And Laureano, it's like,
he's only got a 1 year deal. And I mean, what I keep thinking is, okay, maybe he's the guy that kind of outlasts everyone because of said deal. And Brennan's got options. So does, I believe Freeman does too. I haven't taken a look. He's got to have at least one or two.
Well, there's nothing that ties you to Florial.
Nothing that ties you to Florial. So he's, I think he's the first one out. Especially like if a J-Rod gets called up. But with Laureano, I could see them maybe kind of taking the route of, well, he's the vet, you know, he's not being paid a ton, so like we'll keep him around and then just kind of play him a little bit more sporadically and hope that, again, he's put into positions to succeed. And come trade deadline, it's like, hey, you know, we'll give you this guy for a pen arm or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like offensively, it's just like pretty bad. Like if you look at like his stat cast, Laureano, there's not, I mean, he's like a name, right? Because people know him from 2019 and his other couple of years where he's been okay. And he was here for a spell last year. Yeah. But like he strikes out at a 30% clip this year. And yeah, he's walking at a high rate, which is whatever. But like, he's got an expected batting average of 196 and everything everything aside from like his chase rate and his walk rate so far this season, which certainly could go down. Nothing really screams much of any. I mean, no.
He's the one guy that when he comes up, I'm kind of not expecting much.
This team is constructed really well at the moment in terms of like the vibes, I guess you could say. They're really solid, but
they're amazing.
Eventually you got to produce. And yes. I think there's been more than enough time given to Laureano, especially over the last year. And then nothing ties you to Florial. So
yeah.
And really Jonathan Rodriguez, I really can't be overstated how like solid a start he's had. For all the talk about him being sort of like an Oscar Gonzalez-esque type bat, he has a .410 on base percentage. He's got 13 walks in 70 at bats in Columbus with 4 homers and 5 doubles right now heading into tonight. So he's hitting a cool .300. It's like, that's it, man. I mean, don't know how much more you can really say about the guy other than give him a shot. So, I feel a good problem to have, right?
It's a great problem to have.
This is
a great problem. And I mean, like, I even start going down that rabbit hole of, okay, well, you know, we got the Louder and hopefully maybe, you know, we go with the Condon pick and, oh, well, what would his future be? I'm like, no, stop thinking about that because that's still a year and a half away. A year to a year and a half, easily. That's still that far from those three being up here with Kwan. And maybe he is a Gonzalez player type player, but he needs to get at least a shot.
I don't know how much more you could really. No. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like staring you straight in the face. Like,
yeah,
I understand them. I do actually understand the Manzardo hesitation to some extent, because that actually does F with a little bit of your, I mean, you can make him DH, no problem. But like, I get the idea of like, well, it's a bit of a weird, you know, juggle between two lefty first basemen. I get it. It's like, whatever. But like,
yeah.
Rodriguez is one that stares you sort of right in the face where you're like, well, right now our right fielders are Will Brennan and Ramon Laureano, which like, okay, like, whatever.
No offense, but that's fourth, fifth type material right there. Let's see what we got.
And Jonathan Rodriguez is a righty, so you could even keep Will Brennan up if you really wanted to still.
Let's not go into the splits, Steve. Let's not go.
Dude, I love the splits. No, well, although isn't Brennan's splits against lefties or righties like terrible?
They were terrible this year because against righties, he's hitting like 200. At least the last time I checked, he was hitting 200 against righties, but 333 against lefties. Now, this is a little disingenuous because he's only had 3 at-bats against lefties on the season. He's 1-for-3.
There you still, go. I mean, but
you know. But still. it was comical thinking, oh yeah, you're supposed to be the guy who, you know, faces the right-handed bats and you're actually doing worse.
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't always pan out that way. I mean, not everybody can be like Jake Fraley down in Cincinnati, who's just like an absolute tank of a platoon bat who like strictly hits righties and just mashes. So it doesn't always work, but
you know, maybe that's where we should also take a look too, is eventually, like, we probably, some of these guys, again, prospects are prospects for a reason because they haven't proven anything. But there will be a day, likely in the not too distant future, that we're going to have to reverse course on some of these guys and go, yeah, maybe you are just a platoon.
I think it's becoming like kind of like abundantly clear,
but
with like Brennan.
But
Brennan, a fine depth bat, a fine depth outfielder. Fine.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. But
if he was your fourth outfielder, you wouldn't lose sleep.
But you're telling me you wouldn't want a 5-6 of Jonathan Rodriguez and then Kyle Manzardo to split up the righty lefty?
Lengthening the lineup theoretically again.
It's not bad.
Oh,
I mean, if you just swapped out Ramon Laureano and Esteban Florial for those two, and I understand those are guys that have never been to the major league level, but like, I'll roll the dice.
Yeah. Especially this season when expectations were low.
But now all of a sudden they're like, well, hold on a second. This is a good start here.
But at the same time, and maybe this is what they're waiting for, not knowing 100%, but maybe they are waiting for guys to kind of hit the skids a little bit more. You know, we're kind of getting to that point now where a call up really wouldn't shock you. It'd be a little early, don't get me wrong, because I think we've all kind of circled May on our calendar for seeing at least Manzardo. But you know, if Florial goes out and, goes one way or the other, right? Okay, well, you know, let's keep him around if he's doing well or if he's going not hitting so well. Hey, buddy, thanks. You know, we're going to bring up J-Rod. Because that's one guy that I definitely don't think that they're concerned about manipulating his service time. He's 25 right now.
He's 24, I think.
24. Yeah. He'll be 25 at the end of the season. Mm. So I don't get that sense with him that they're all that concerned about service time as they are with Manzardo and DeLauder and, you know, potentially some others. But yeah, like, what do you have to lose?
Well, I feel like switching gears a little bit, they might be a little more worried about internally. I know they have to be. Is the state of the starting rotation because you know, injuries aside, so you have Bieber and Gavin Williams, who's coming back soon. Injuries aside, it's been a pretty mixed bag across the board. You've got, like, I would argue some sophomore kind of struggles a little bit for Tanner Bibee and Logan Allen a little bit. Tristan McKenzie, I think he's going to make it through the year. I think we're every start, we're probably just going to have to brace for like the news that he's going to finally get the surgery.
Yeah.
And then, and he's just totally, he just lost everything, like his control.
His last start wasn't as bad, but
it's pretty tough.
That was also the age.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to watch him right now. He just is a shell of himself, and it's not going to last. And Carrasco is great. I think he's going to eat up innings for you all year. I don't know how long he'll be here.
Good thing we took the over on that prediction.
Dude, yeah.
That one is going to be way over. But I think you can, to that point, I think you can patchwork. Getting Gavin Williams back is going to be clutch.
And I like Xavion Curry quite a bit.
Curry.
Ben Lively's been serviceable.
Lively, but yeah, between Lively and Carrasco, I'm probably omitting a name. There's got to be another name in there too. But I think you could patchwork kind of like one spot in the rotation between those three over the course of a season. You know, maybe even like a spot and a half, even two. But once you start patchworking two, three spots, that's when it really gets dicey. Joey Cantillo, I haven't taken a look at where he's at in his recovery, but I have to imagine he was coming back soon too. So that's another name to watch out for.
I would also look for Doug Nikhazy.
He'll probably get called up to Columbus here very soon. And that stint in Columbus could be brief.
Yeah, he's had two starts in AA to this point and has not given up a run in 10 innings. So, and he's 24. So
he pitched well in Akron last year.
Yeah, he had a 4.94 ERA in Akron last year in 22 starts, 26 games. Had 128 strikeouts in 102 innings, like, but seems to have taken that step forward.
Yeah. And walks, I think, were a little bit of an issue. Like,
yes,
there was a couple. If I remember, there were a few starts that got away. Maybe like three or four starts that got away from him.
He has to sliced that in half this year to a more respectable like 3 per 9 innings, which like is still a little high. But I think what you're going to see. I mean, I was looking at it during the Oakland series, and because I just like him, is a guy like Paul Blackburn. Yeah. I'm just so enamored with like they need to get like a guy like that where it's cool that he's controlled through next year, but a guy that doesn't do anything that will like blow you away, but is an incredibly serviceable arm.
Yep.
And eats up innings, will make 20 some starts a year, and there you go. You know, that's all you really need to worry about. And like, might be your third, if you wanted to start getting funky and think about the playoffs, you could do a lot worse than Paul Blackburn with like your third starter. If
you came to that, yeah. No, that's the one glaring need. And it wasn't until you brought it up where I'm like, I started thinking about it more. I'm just trying to, at this point, enjoy the ride. Even though it's maddening that we are getting 5 innings, 5 1/3 from our starters, like can one of you guys just go 6? Like, please, just one. But yeah, a guy who can get you, you know, 5 innings, 5-6 innings, and does nothing spectacular, but is dependable.
Oof. The innings is really what it is.
Yeah.
You cannot keep going like, for
no that's what we need. And I think that's the one part where front office has to look at it. Oh wow, you know, we're a couple games up now on the Twins or on the Royals, I'm sorry, you know, 16-6, rotation's kind of being tied, you know, it's held together by shoestrings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've made some moves already more pen arms, but I think, like you said,
Gavin Williams coming back is certainly going to be interesting and helpful. I think Xavion Curry is a really nice sort of piece in the hole.
I always just dismiss him. I don't know why. I liked the role he played last year in the pen, and truth be told, Hunter Gaddis has filled that role Very admirably this year. So
it's not, I mean, and again, you know, guys like Logan Allen and Tanner Bibee might kind of like sort themselves out a little bit. I think it's just been, I was a little worried about it, is that, you know, 3/5 of your rotation going into the year were going to be guys that were rookies last year. It's like, that's a tough sell.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know. So.
Especially for pitchers, books out on those guys. Teams adjust. They have to make that subsequent adjustment to the teams making the adjustment. And, you know, I mean, some guys are just better at that than others.
Yeah. But Bibee, you know, Bibee had a pretty decent start against the A's. You know, we'll see if that, where that kind of translates. And Gavin Williams is going to have a lot of, it's the same thing with him. I mean, he's still got to work on his control. So yeah. I he's sort of a mixed bag right now too. So it's hard to say, but it's exciting. I mean, it's, you know,
it's very exciting.
It's exciting. It's a little nerve wracking, you know, not having a guy like Bieber that like every fifth day you're like, there's your ace. Right, you know, right now you're just like, I don't know. Like every day you're like, maybe this is, I don't know what. And like you're always wondering, like, is this the game where Carlos Carrasco just like blows up because he's got like three guys on base every inning? You just eventually it's going to come to a head. And I guess they'll just worry about that when the time comes. But I mean, hey, look, they're 16-6. We could have way worse problems.
I'll leave on one thought before the final thought that I have. You can't win a championship in April and May, but you can sure lose one. Cliche as hell, but I think it bears repeating right now. So, you know, where we're at right now, I mean, I don't even think I realized this until the season was over last year, but the Diamondbacks got off to that scorching hot start.
And then they really tanked.
Fell apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Limped into the playoffs. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen to this Guardians club, but you do yourself a lot of favors by winning these early games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teams start falling apart. The White Sox have 7 shutouts this year. Have been shut out 7 times, I should say. I mean, they're on pace to shatter the single season record for most shutouts.
I think they're 3-19 now after tonight.
Yeah. Like, you can't tell me that doesn't weigh on you,
mm-hmm.
even this early in the season. You know, the Twins are, Twins fans on Twitter are notoriously hot and cold. And, they're the junkyard dog backed into the corner right now, and they're taking their swipes at everybody, but they see the writing on the wall of that team too. Mm-hmm. Like you and I discussed, you know, I think it's at the end of the season, it's probably going to be Guardians Tigers in some fashion. But win your games now.
Yes.
Win your games now when you're supposed to.
Right.
And if you hit a rough month, you have that buffer. I still think 83-85 wins could be enough, and even as much as as the picture that we've painted here isn't rainbow and sunshines and puppy dogs and unicorns, it's a lot better than it could be.
Yeah, and I'm excited. I mean, let's see what happens over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
let's see. You're gonna be playing some really good teams. You're gonna play some struggling teams. You still got to play Houston on the road. Let's just see what happens. Yeah. And if they get out of the next 3 weeks or so and they're still in a really good place in heading into like mid-May, we'll say, that's where you can really gear up and say, like, we might have something here. You know,
I just want to point this out too. We're 10 games over 500. You can play 500 ball the rest of the way. Not that I'm not advocating for this. Just think about that. You could play 500 ball from tomorrow's game. You know, maybe a couple, if you're listening to this a few days later, the first game in the Boston series. You could play 500 ball the rest of the way out and have a damn good chance of making the playoffs.
That's true.
So
it's a great point.
That's baseball. That's why we love it.
That's so weird about it.
Like,
I know.
It's silly things like that. I mean, I remember going back in the day, And you and I would look at and go say, oh man, if Grady Sizemore only had like 11 more hits on the season, he would have been hitting like 301.
Mm-hmm.
Goofy shit, man.
Yeah, it's super weird. It's super weird. Maybe we'll get to do that with Kwan, where it's like, man, if he had one more hit a week, he'd be hitting 400.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get there.
We'll be on 400 watch at some point. Or at least batting title watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's, I think that's it for our inaugural live stream as well.
Just one last thing.
What do you got?
You've buried the lead.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're still here.
If you're still watching, thank you to everyone who nominated us for the best sports podcast in Cleveland Scene's Best of Cleveland 2024. Voting's now live. So if you are watching this still, listening to this, head to Cleveland Scene and vote for us daily, and you know, maybe sometimes twice or three times a day if you have multiple email accounts.
Your burner email account.
I want like 95, 96, like 97, like Cleveland Indians, like ballot stuffing the All-Star game ballots, baby.
I want division lead 90s Indians. That's what I want from us to the second place. I want like a 30 game cushion.
So, yeah, so that's live. So,
we'll share the link.
Yeah, we'll share the link on our socials. But if you guys could do that, we greatly appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks, guys.